Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
You have bombarded my mind with useless, petty crap. We can talk later. Perhaps in the kitchen while we're eating a sandwich. What the hell?
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I can prove it. I'm going to actually perform it at this time. I don't juggle. I don't, like, wear 50 hula hoops and keep them all going at the same time. I can't make milk come out of my nose, but I can do this. I used to be able to squat. I could squat. There was a time in my life when I could squat. I was a kid, and I could squat down. I remember in nursery school, it's one of the first memories I have of having great lust for my nursery school teacher, which I don't think was normal. I remember she kept saying, let's all get into a squatting position, and every kid could do it. Now, if someone said, Ron, get in a squatting position, I'd laugh my ass off. I can't squat. Are you serious? I can't even spell squat. Is there a Q-U in it somewhere? Are you serious? Get down on the floor and then challenge me to get up again? I don't think so. Squatting? That's for kids. Kind of sad that when you grow up, you realize there's stuff you can't do anymore. That's sad. When I was going to school, I was told, Ron, you can do anything. No, I can't squat. I know people that are ambidextrous. I'm not even one dextrous. I don't know. I can't do stuff anymore. Sometimes when I see a penny or a quarter on the floor, I just look down at it and I laugh. Seriously? You think I am going to pick you up? No. That'll be enough. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's a Ron Van Dam Show. We're heard all over the freaking place at somebody's peril somewhere. Oh, man. I was with a person yesterday, and I said, let's go have a drink. I say that a lot. I guess it's a phrase that I mutter frequently. And let's go have a drink. And the guy, it was a guy. I'm usually not with guys socially. What's the point? What's the point with being with a guy socially? I'm a guy. Why would I want to be with another guy socially when there are women out there with breasts and very attractive figures? Why would I bother being with a guy socially, when I can be with a woman who expresses her feelings through conversation, gets into depths, and is not afraid to talk about herself or her emotions? Why would I not do that? Seriously. Anyway, so I said to the guy, well, let's go have a drink, you know, kill some time. And he says to me, sure, it's, he says, sure, I would like it, but I don't know, it's like only 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Ron, and you want to, said, yeah, because I'm bored with you, I have nothing else to do. Let's go have it, because there's nothing else, you're boring the hell out of me. And he looks at his watch, and he says, well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. You didn't say that, did you? You said it's 5 o'clock somewhere? Don't ever say that. Don't ever pick a phrase that is used to death and say it to me. Don't ever. That's a point against you, and you didn't even have any points to begin with. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and you think that's cute and funny? You've never heard that before? Do you think that I never heard that before? Are you insulting me? Are you insulting me that I've never heard a common phrase like that that's stupid to begin with? Wow. That infuriates me. It's such an affront to my personality. The other time joke, which really freaks me out, I can't stand it, is when a person says, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Get on a spaceship and go to another planet. You are really like bugging me. I had a cousin named George when I was growing up. I think I still do. I just haven't kept in touch with him at all. I don't know if he's dead or not. If someone says that to you, you can be sure they haven't been in contact with that person for a long time. How's Bobby? I don't know. I don't even know if he's dead. Whoa, you really haven't talked to him in a long time. No, that proves it. That actually proves it. I had a cousin named George. I guess technically I still do. Again, unless he's died, then I don't have one anymore. George was brought up by these really strange straight parents, and he used to make the stupidest little jokes. He actually said to me, at the age of like 16, it's the last time I saw him, when we were both around 16, we're both around the same age, and he actually said, Ron, I have a funny joke for you. And I said, okay. He says, why did the chicken cross the road? Oh, he's not going to say it, is he? To get to the other side. You find that funny still? That joke is like from like 1827. That's an old joke. You actually say that joke and think it's funny? To me? How dare you? That's the reason that I haven't talked to George in all these years, because of that stupid joke. And he was serious about it. I might say that joke in order to show you how stupid people are, but he was serious. He thought that was really funny and innovative. Seriously. So, you know, I have to pick and choose who I associate with. And it's slim pickings, babe. It is slim pickings these days. By the way, Slim Pickens was actually a performer. Did you know that? That was the name of... Okay. All right, fine. Today's a banner day for me. It's none of your business, really, but as I do a talk show, this is what I'm supposed to do, talk about experiences. So here's a big one coming up for me. After this show today, I have an appointment with my doctor. I know. For a follow-up. It's the follow-up. Yeah, it's the follow-up today. Every 6 months, my doctor sees me. I could just send her a picture of me, but she wants to see me in person. Once a year, I have a physical where she touches me in strange places and tells me I'm amazingly normal for my age, and I'm supposed to say thank you. That's a backhanded compliment of crap. But today is a 6 month follow-up, and as I've said before, what that means is I have to put my kids through college somehow. You need to come into the office more frequently and spend money. So the follow-up is nothing. It's just nothing. It's just you say hello, you swap spit, they take your blood pressure. There's no fingers up the ass. There's nothing like that. It's just the mundane stuff, the blood pressure thing. And she'll take the stethoscope and feel my chest if she's up to it. She may not even do that. It could be an off day for her. I just sit on that stupid little half bed thing with the tissue paper on it. And she talks to me. She has a little computer in front of her. And everything I say, she writes into the computer. I don't think you can be a doctor these days if you can't use a laptop. I seriously don't think it's possible. Medical training, not so much. Data entry, you got to have it. So we chat for probably a minute and a half. I've been waiting for her for 10 minutes, but the actual examination, the follow-up, is about a minute and a half. But what I fear the most is not the examination. It's the scale. It's the weight check. Check, please. Yeah, the nurse, when she takes me into the second waiting room, she weighs me like a piece of meat, the piece of meat that I am. And I go on this non-eating binge of nothing. I eat air for like 2 days before I go to the doctor to prove to the doctor that I am not overweight. She says, I'm tipping the scales on overweight. I'm in the obese category as the United States government considers me slightly obese. I find you slightly annoying, and that's on my curve. Seriously, I'm slightly obese. And that's on my chart, by the way. That's in stone. I mean, you know, I'm... So today I weighed myself in my home to pretest my weight, and I've lost a lot of weight. I had a colonoscopy. I talked about it on the show because this is a very personal thing. About 2 months ago, I had a colonoscopy, which was actually quite pleasant this time around. Yeah, it wasn't so bad. And in order to do the prep, I had to empty my body completely, which is such a wonderful cleansing experience. Not only does it cleanse your body physically, but to me, it's also a mental cleanse. Anyway, because I had to fast and not eat anything at all for a day ahead of time, and then my body was totally cleaned out, my weight really dropped beautifully. Beautiful. I was right where I wanted to be. Right where I wanted to be. Just like the three bears. In the sense that I found the perfect bed of weight for me. And since then, I have actually succeeded in keeping most of that off. I didn't gain it back. Ron, that's such an accomplishment. I can't wait to step on the scale at the doctor's office and have them say, Ron, your weight is under control. Congratulations. I want the doctor to get on her knees and kiss my feet. Let's start there. I mean, I want to hear the accolades. I want a ticker tape parade down the hall of the medical building for losing weight. I want to be recognized. I want a service medal. Something. A discount on my bill. Not that I pay it anyway. So I'm looking forward to today because I believe weight-wise I'm going to get some oohs and ahs from these people. That's all I live for. I don't, my health, nice, big deal. I'm more interested in making the medical staff go, ooh, yeah, that's what I'm looking to do. Ooh. I want to hear it. I want to hear them gather in the hall and go, ooh. Mm-hmm. Because I was told by my doctor, when I lose weight, my chances of disease go down, my chances of heart disease goes down. Any type of diabetes they can come up with, the chances of that go down. It's just really, really effective. And then she's going to order a blood test for me, which I shall refuse. I shall refuse it, because the second I get out of the doctor's office, I'm going to go out and stuff my face with food. Large amounts of food. Because I've accomplished the weight loss. She's going to order a blood test for me to check my blood, and then we're going to go through this all over again. I'm going to have to go through this whole thing where I have to eat properly for a number of days in order to make the blood test turn out right, and the blood sugar levels and the cholesterol, the whole bit, the whole kit and caboodle. I don't know what kit and caboodle means. It's a stupid phrase. Kit and caboodle, what the hell does that mean? What does that have to do with a kitten? And what's a caboodle? And what happens when you put them together? It makes no sense whatsoever. I love the phrases they came up with back at the turn of the century. And they use the phrases all the time. Kitten caboodle. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. That kind of stuff. The innocent days where you could say words that made no sense and people knew what you were talking about. Actually, that still goes on today. We have a great guest on today's show. It's somewhat along the lines of what I'm talking about. He's the author of a book. I believe he's a doctor as well. He is, as a matter of fact. It's about eating, which is actually my favorite subject. My favorite subject is a double-edged sword. There's two edges to the sword of this. I love to eat, but at the same time, I'm told not to eat too much of it. Enjoy your food, make it luscious and wonderful, but don't eat too much of it. Oh, I see. I see. Make something that's incredibly appealing, but don't have much of it. That's a very difficult human thing to juggle. As I said at the top of the show, I can't juggle balls, much less my diet. I can't weigh my food. They used to do that with Weight Watchers. They used to give you a little scale. And you would take your food and put it in a little cup and then weigh it. It was a tiny little scale and it was ridiculous. You couldn't have more than like 2 ounces of food. So are you serious? That scale is going to be broken before you can get it out of the closet. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Pasta's funny. Pasta's funny. 200 calories, 220 calories. For the pasta alone, yeah, that sounds good. I can sit down and eat a lot of pasta too. No, Ron, that's for like 2 ounces of it. Do you ever look at 2 ounces of something? You need a microscope to find it on the plate. Nobody eats 2 ounces of food. Give me a freaking break. Yet that's how everything is actually measured. Look at your food labels. It's not a whole plate of spaghetti. It's 2 ounces of it. Multiply that by 2,000, and that's what you're eating when you sit down and have a meal. Are you serious? And I was told, like, Ron, get small plates. Get small plates, and then when you put the food on the plate, it looks like the plate is full, but it's a small plate. Let me tell you something. Do you think I'm freaking stupid? Do you think I'm stupid? Do you think I don't realize that I'm not eating that much food? Do you think I'm that stupid that a small plate is a saucer size, it's filled with food, and that's going to trick me to think that I'm having a lot of food? Do you think I'm really that stupid? I didn't vote for Trump, so I'm not that stupid. Seriously? Are you kidding me? You think I can trick my brain? My eyes are smarter than my brain is. By far. By far. Anyway. All right. We're going to speak to the doctor. Because we should. It's proper. It's the right thing to do. I like to do the right thing. Wasn't that a movie by Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing? I believe it was. Great title. I just don't remember what it's about. But I think it was really cool. Not sure. I don't really know. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right. Do you listen to advice? I don't think so.
We asked Ron Van Dam, what's your best advice for people who've just listened to this show for the first time?
Don't discuss it with other people. It's stupid. It's pathetic. It's an embarrassment from hell.
Oh, okay. That was not what I was expecting.
Do you need a hug, Ron? Come here, big fella. It's gonna be okay. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hello.
Good morning.
Dr. Neil Barnard joins us now. He is a nutrition researcher and New York Times bestselling author, and he's done it again here, Your Body in Balance. We're talking about hormones and how they affect your body according to the foods that you eat. What is a hormonal imbalance, by the way?
Hormones are basically messengers that go from one part of the body to another. So in a woman's body, the ovaries make estrogens that are hormones that affect her reproductive organs. Or in a man, a testosterone will affect his, say, muscular development, for example. Or the thyroid gland makes thyroid hormone, which gives us energy. Yeah. So they're really messengers.
Okay. And you're pretty much stating that we don't talk about this very much, but there is an imbalance going on in many cases.
That's right. And the amazing thing is that foods can control our hormones. Right. Sometimes foods throw them off kilter. So that gives us completely new control over a huge range of problems, such as if a young woman has menstrual cramps, or right, a couple has problems with infertility, or a woman has hot flashes. It could be that foods are throwing off the hormonal balance, and we can bring it back into balance. The same is true for men with erectile dysfunction, mm-hmm, or thyroid problems, or even diabetes.
Yeah, diabetes, thyroid, I mean, probably two of the most common forms of discussion that we even have on this show. So many people are affected by it on one level or another. You believe that if one ate in a different manner, put different things in your body, so to speak, that this imbalance could be corrected to some extent?
Yes, to an enormous extent. Oh. And it really means rethinking the disease. In the case of diabetes, the old-fashioned view is my blood sugar is high, so I should not eat sugar,
right,
and don't eat bread that
right,
releases sugar. And there's something to that. But what we've discovered now is what causes the whole thing. And what causes the whole thing is that the hormone insulin is misbehaving. When it arrives at the cells to try to get the sugar into the cell,
yeah,
it can't function. It's malfunctioning. And so we found that foods can make it function again. So they get your insulin working right, and maybe you won't even need medication anymore.
Hmm.
Now, everyone's different. You should definitely talk to your doctor, yeah, as you change your diet.
Yeah.
But we have seen people who don't have diabetes anymore because they've been able to get their foods, yeah, in the correct balance.
Well, let's use that as an example because that is so widespread. And even for people who don't have diabetes, it's also a healthy choice. What kinds of tips do you have for eating foods that would pretty much take care of that?
Okay, three tips. And by the way, what I'm about to say is exactly the opposite of how I was raised,
okay,
as a kid in Fargo, North Dakota, where it was burgers and, you know, pork chops. The healthiest diet for reversing diabetes or improving it as much as possible excludes animal products completely.
Yeah.
So it's a vegan diet.
Yeah.
Number two, we keep oils really low, so not a lot of fried junk.
Yeah.
And the third tip is that we use foods that don't get blood sugar out of whack. So instead of white bread, you might pick rye bread,
yeah,
or pumpernickel bread. Those are the healthier carbohydrates.
Okay.
But the most important ones are getting rid of the animal products and keeping oils low. When that happens,
yeah,
the cell can respond to insulin much more effectively, and people need less medicine. And we have seen cases then when the disease actually just completely vanishes,
wow,
which we had not been prepared for before.
Wow. What about fiber? I hear so much about fiber, how that affects so many different things. Is that actually something to talk about?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And in fact, that fits right in with the prescription, because when I said get rid of animal products,
yeah,
one of the big problems with the meat that I, well, meat and poultry and fish in general,
right,
including everything I grew up with, meats don't have fiber. Dairy products don't have fiber, and they tend to disrupt digestion, but they tend to disrupt blood sugar control as well. So, so when you're on a completely vegan diet, there's fiber in everything, and that is part of what gets us into better balance.
Okay, I know people just...
By the way, I don't want to understate this.
What?
I'm not talking about making a little improvement in your life.
Yeah.
One of the first research participants we had was a man named Vance, who had had diabetes for several years. It was all up and down his family tree. He went on this approach. He lost 60 pounds, his doctors, his private doctor said, this is amazing, you're doing so well, I'm going to stop all your medications. Mm. But his blood sugar control came under into the perfectly normal range without medications, and effectively he no longer had diabetes. Mm. And when we first saw this, we were shocked, but now we see it routinely. So that the whole reason I wrote Your Body in Balance is so many people think they are condemned to medications, and they'll have to be on insulin injections for the rest of their life. You know, maybe so, but why don't we see what we can do with foods to get your body back into balance?
Sure. After how long, let's say you change your diet and your eating habits and you didn't put the so-called junk into your mouth, how long after that do you start feeling better, your metabolism changes, you just feel healthier? Is that months after, weeks after, days after? Because as human beings, when we start to feel better, now we have a reason. Do you know what I mean? It's like if you get on the scale and you see that something shed 2 or 3 pounds, you'll keep doing it. Otherwise, you kind of won't. How long does it take before you start feeling the effects?
Depends on the condition. With regard to diabetes, people are a little bit unsure if what I've said is true for about 3 days. They think, can this be true? But usually by about day 4 or 5, they start to notice their blood sugars improving, even before they've lost substantial amounts of weight, and certainly within the first couple of weeks. With regard to menstrual cramps, I mentioned earlier at the beginning of our discussion that menstrual cramps at fertility and hot flashes, these are related, in this case, not to insulin, but to estrogens. And what we see is that usually right in the first cycle, a woman who's had really bad cramps and heavy flow, she'll notice that that's improved in the next cycle after the diet change. Mm-hmm. However, none of this is going to happen if you don't actually do it. So I encourage people not to just take this on faith and think, well, maybe I'll kind of give it a try. I encourage them to see for themselves, and that means take a month and actually do what we're suggesting. And for most people, it is just life-changing, that they realize that they have more control than they ever had thought possible. Yeah. The guy who's at the doctor for the erectile dysfunction medications suddenly discovers he's restored blood flow to his private parts, and he doesn't need the Viagra, and he just feels like a young man again. We see this absolutely routinely. But again, don't take my word for it. I encourage people to try it for themselves. Sure. Talk with their doctor. Let them know what they're doing.
I can't imagine any doctor saying, don't try to eat healthy. We don't.
It's funny you say that. When I was a medical student at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C., we were really not taught about nutrition, and that's still true today. Yes. And so doctors tend to be a little too quick with the prescription pad, and they don't really look at the cause of the disease. Take infertility. How many couples are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on fertility treatments? We have seen people's but both in men and in women, the fertility issues. For a man, it's a low sperm count quite often. Mm-hmm. For a woman, she's not ovulating normally. When we get their foods back in balance, those things can improve. So I would encourage anybody, whatever other treatment you may be doing, good heavens, let's get your body back in balance. Maybe you won't need the other treatments.
Sure. I mean, I would imagine that thyroid and metabolic issues have a lot to do with not being able to control your weight as much as you would like to. I mean, it seems just like across the board makes sense. Of course, yeah, check with your doctor or check with Dr. Barnard. Give him a call. No, don't do that. All right. So the book's available now, I assume.
Yes, it's called Your Body in Balance. And by the way, let me brag about the recipes. Lindsay S. Nixon is a wonderful recipe developer. She made 65 recipes that put it to work, plus tips for people who mostly eat at restaurants. But when she sent me the recipes, she also sent a note saying that this approach had cured her own menstrual cramps, too.
Wow.
So I thought, all right, that's an endorsement I hadn't been expecting.
Sure. That's a inside the jacket kind of thing.
You got it.
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting thing you brought up, and I haven't really read anybody else doing this. If you have to eat out all the time for various reasons, for work or whatever, what do you do there? And that's very cool. That's not discussed much at all, ever. Maybe the restaurants.
Well, my tip here is think international. Yeah. It's harder sometimes at a steakhouse, easier at an Italian, Chinese, Mexican, Japanese kind of restaurant. But we got lots of tips for you. So Your Body in Balance has you covered.
Good. Okay, Your Body in Balance. How can people follow you, Doctor?
Our own website is PCRM.org. That stands for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org. And Your Body in Balance is on all the online places. But frankly, if there's a local bookstore, they'd appreciate your business.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. Good information and a pleasure speaking to you.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. This has been so much fun. Did you have fun like I had fun? No? Well, my expectations are way off. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show because that's what I do. So join me then, will you please? You're wonderful, by the way, and you're smelling nice too. Did you put some kind of perfume on? Did you wash behind your ears? You're looking really clean today. You really, your feet don't smell. Something's going on, though, in your pants. I don't know what that is. Clean that up, will you? All right. Go do something now. I wish you peace. Show's over. You can listen to this if you'd like, and then the show's over. I'm really hungry. I'm getting really hungry. I haven't eaten all morning. Because I don't want to show it on the scale. I'm getting really hungry. Where's my 2 ounces of food? Hey.